Thank you. Thank you, Brother Chris. Thank you, Miss Lisa. Thank you for coming today. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Daniel. And we'll be going to Revelation as well, but Daniel chapter 8. Daniel chapter 8. As we, some months ago when I was going through Revelation, we touched on some of this, but I want to go into a little bit more intricate detail about the man that's going to rise up one day. He's going to deceive the world, and that is the Antichrist. Daniel chapter 8. Daniel chapter 8, verse 23. Look at verse 23, if you will. If you're able to, I'm going to ask you to stand as we read Daniel chapter 8, verse 23. God's word says, "And at the latter end of their kingdom, when the transgressors have reached their limit, a king of bold face, one who understands riddles, shall arise. His power shall be great, but not by his own power, and he shall cause fearful destruction and shall succeed in what he does and destroy mighty men and people who are the saints. By his cunning, he shall make deceit prosper under his hand, and in his own mind he shall become great. Without warning, he shall destroy many, and he shall even rise up against the prince of princes," against the Lord Jesus, "and he shall be broken, but by no human hand." Father, bless your word. In Christ's holy name, amen. Please be seated. The Bible is a very complex book, and many could say, nowhere is it more complex than in prophecy. What's going to come to pass one day? How things are going to end up in this world? As I was trying to remind the young people, life is so short. And because life is short, we need to be ready for the coming of the Lord. We need to be ready for the future. Not just physically, but spiritually. And I think as you and I think about the Antichrist and we think about all the other things that's going to happen in prophecy and try to wrap our minds around that, it makes us a little bit more diligent to say, I need to serve the Lord while I'm still around, while I'm still alive, because one day I won't have another chance. This is the only chance you and I get. Some 7.5 billion people live on the earth as we speak right now. 7.5 billion. And approximately over, ever since Adam and Eve, perhaps 40 billion people have lived on this earth. Every one of us are going to give an account, the Bible says, of our own personal life. We're all going to have to stand before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we're going to have to give an account of how we've been living or who we are, or whether we trusted Jesus or not. You know, the world has seen many, many talented people. Many. We could name hundreds or if not thousands of talented people in this world. However, there's not one person that's ever been around other than the Lord Jesus. But one person, there's not one that's going to be able to match the power, the charisma, the ambition, and everything else of the Antichrist. He's going to have it all. He's going to be what humanity wants in one person. All embodied in a person is going to be the Antichrist. He will literally be Satan's superhero. And so let me give you a few truths this morning about the Antichrist, Satan's superhero. First, I want you to be aware of his appearance. His appearance. Can we know when he appears? No, we won't know. The Bible says we're not going to be able to know, but we can look at some things. There will be some signs. There will be things in this world that will happen that should enlighten us, should awaken us to say, it must be getting close. It must be getting near. We don't know when it's going to happen. It could be 100 years. It could be one day. But it's getting close. No one knows but God, but the Bible does tell us there are signs that we should look for. And so the first one is the world's condition. The condition of the world. What's the condition of the world going to be when the Antichrist comes? Or right before the Antichrist comes? The world will be in a terrible moral condition. Wrong will be right, and right will be wrong. They will twist those two, and they will try to deceive you. The world would be in shambles morally. The world will say the Bible is not important. It's just a bunch of hogwash. It's not, if maybe from God, if it is from God, so what? That's what the world's going to say. That's the condition of the world. It's evidenced by many passages. Luke chapter 17, verse 26, it says, "And it was it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the days when Jesus or the Son of Man comes back. They ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day Noah went into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all." And you remember, Noah's ark, only 8 people survived. Only 8 people made it on the ark. The whole world perished, everybody else, except those 8 people. Because Noah listened to God. Noah built the ark even though it never rained before. He was obedient, and his family survived because of it. 2 Timothy gives us a great verse. If you will, hold your place in Daniel 8 and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I want to give you a verse about the world's condition. The condition of the world is going to be in right before the Antichrist comes. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to read verses 1 through 5. Part of it is on your screen, but we're going to read 1 through 5. It says, "But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty, for people will be lovers of their own self, of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless." They won't even have a heart. They're so cold-hearted. "Unappeasable." You can't appease them. You can't satisfy them. "Slanderous, without self-control." They have no control over anything. They just do what they want. "They'll be brutal, not loving good," which means the opposite, they love bad. "Treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness." Maybe they go to church on Sunday, "but denying its power." And then look at that last little phrase there. "Avoid such people." Don't hang out with those kind of people. Don't be around those people. Why? Because if you hang around a dog, you're going to get fleas, right? You're going to get ticks. And we all love dogs and cats. But some of them have ticks, don't they? And fleas. So you got to be careful who you hang out with. Teenagers, young people, be careful who you hang out with. I'm telling you, they'll pull you away. They'll pull you away from what God wants for your life. And next thing you know, you're in a mess. You're in trouble. Why? Because you hung out with the wrong people. You should have said, "No, I can't go. I'm not going." Many, many times in my life, I said, "No, I'm not going to that party. I know they're having a great time. I know they're living it up. I know they're just laughing and giggling and doing whatever they want to do. But I'm not going because I'm afraid to go. Because I want God to be more important in my life than going to that party. Because I know if I go, I'm going to get in trouble." Many, many times in my life, and I had a church near a casino. Many times in my life, I said, "I'm not going to the casino. I'm not even going down there to eat." Because I really believe if I were to go and pull that slot, I believe the devil would help me win some money. And then I would be addicted to it, or I would be wanting to do it again. And so the best thing for me to do is to stay away from it. because I don't want to become, I don't want to be addicted to something I don't need to be addicted to. And so we have to be careful. The world's condition, what is it going to be like right before the Antichrist comes? We see that in 2 Timothy here. What is it going to be like? Let me give you another nugget. What is the world going to be like? The world's condition is going to be terrible. No moral judgment. We see it even in our society. It looks like it's here, doesn't it? The world's condition. I want you to see something else. The Bible says it's going to happen. Religious corruption. We know there's political corruption. People are buying each other out for votes. They're doing whatever they have to do to get elected. But there's going to be religious corruption too. That's what the Bible says. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. Here's what it says. It's on your screen. Let no one deceive you by any means. For that day will not come unless the falling away comes first. And the man of sin, the Antichrist, is revealed, this also known as the son of perdition. The falling away. The Bible calls it the great falling away. It refers to times where churches, where denominations, where people depart from God's holy word. They say, we don't want it anymore. We don't need the Bible to live our lives anymore. And so they begin to make up their own Bible. Make up their own rules. You know, there was a time when a man said, if he was a Christian, you knew what he believed. But there's not a time like that anymore, is it? You have no idea what they believe. If they say, I'm a Christian. No idea. Now people who call themselves Christians deny the virgin birth of Christ. They deny the death and burial and resurrection of Christ. They even deny the Bible as God's holy word. Yet they call themselves Christian. What a shame. What a tragedy. Something's wrong. We're living in the midst of a great falling away. And that's what's going to happen before the Antichrist comes. A great falling away. Cults are growing by leaps and bounds. Instead of genuine Christianity, Christianity is under fire in every school, in every town, in every society, excuse me, in every government organization, it's under fire. They don't want the Bible anymore. They don't want it to be shown. They don't even want it in hotels anymore. All we have to have is one person to speak up, and they remove the Bible off so-and-so's desk. Or the cross. Or remove that t-shirt with the cross. When denominations have to take votes on whether to marry homosexuals or allow homosexuals to be ordained into the ministry, something is wrong. It's not us talking, this is the Bible talking. We're not judging people. The Bible judges people. God's Word does. It tells us how we're to live, the kind of person we should be. We're not perfect. Only Jesus is perfect, but we're to follow the Bible. We're to do what it says. There are things that's nailed down in the Bible. Adam and Eve, not Adam and who? Not Adam and Steve, Adam and Eve. Man and woman should marry and cleave together, is what the Bible says. It shouldn't even be a question. Major doctrines are going to be under attack. We're in the midst of this apostasy. There's one event that must take place before the Antichrist comes. There's another. The world's condition. Religious corruption. We could spend all a week on some of these. The church's completion. 2 Thessalonians chapter, if you would, turn to 2 Thessalonians for me. Chapter 2, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians 2. Look at what it says in verse 6. 2 Thessalonians 2:6 says, and you know What is restraining him, talking about the Antichrist, now so that he may be revealed in his time? For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now constrains it will do so, excuse me, until he is out of the way, and then the lawless one, the Antichrist, will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will kill with the breath of his mouth. These verses tells us that the church is going to be removed. The Christians, the real believers, are going to be taken out in the rapture before the Antichrist is revealed, or before the Antichrist really starts doing what he's going to be doing. And so the Christians won't be here. Those people that have not trusted Jesus will have to deal with the Antichrist without any Christians with them to help them on this earth. And so you can imagine what it's going to be like. People are trying to find out what God's holy word says. A few of them, not many probably. Won't be a Christian around to tell them. Won't be a preacher around that, a saved preacher. There's probably many in the pulpit that are not saved because they're not preaching God's word. Like the one in Houston, can I say that? They should have opened his church to the people and he didn't. But verse 6 tells us that there is something that withholdeth or restraineth. Verse 7 says that there is one who letteth or restrains. And there are two words translated from the same word, Greek word, which is to hinder. So verse 7 is really saying that the spirit of Antichrist is already at work, but right now God is hindering. God's holding him back. The spirit of the Antichrist, not the Antichrist, but the spirit of him, what he wants to do is already working in our world. And God is holding him back right now, holding that spirit back. If God took his hand off of it, all you know what's going to break loose. And God is going to take his hand off of it when the church, when the saved folks are removed. God's going to take his hand off, and he's just going to let the world kill each other, the world hate each other, the world deceive each other. The world's going to have it to themselves, you could say. One day the church and the Holy Spirit, they're going to be taken out, taken on to heaven, and the world's going to have to figure this stuff out on their own. The tribulation period is not for the church, we know that. It's called the time of Jacob's trouble. Daniel speaks of it, and many others. Jeremiah speaks of it. It's also called in Revelation chapter 16 the time of God's wrath or God's judgment or punishment. Let me give you the next nugget this morning. There's the verse. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only Jesus, who now restrains it, holds it, will do so. He's going to only restrain it for a certain period of time, and then he's going to get out of the way and let the world kill each other. So I want you to see the abilities of the Antichrist, his abilities. What is he able to do? He will be a man of popularity. What will he be like? Revelation chapter 2 tells us, chapter 6 says, he's going to be given a crown. So if he's given a crown, that means that he's going to be very, very popular. If the Bible says somebody's given a crown, that's a big deal. He's going to be extremely popular. He's going to be a king to people. They're going to say, look at this king we have. He's a great man of peace. He's a great man of prosperity. He's a great man of, you name it, whatever. He's a great man. The people of the world is going to embrace him. This is God's man, they're going to say. But he's not going to be God's man. He's going to be the Antichrist. He's going to arrive on the scene, and he's going to have wonderful support. He's going to have great ideas, remember? He's the man of all mankind. So he's going to be brilliant. He'll have a sensible explanation for everything. He'll even have an explanation for why the church, why all these Christians are gone. He'll have a good explanation for that. He will embody what the world has looked for in a leader all of these years. We finally got him. He's finally here. What a great day it is to live in this world for such a time as this. Now we've got Christ, they're probably saying. We've got God's man. He'll possess many things. Someone said he's got the leadership of Washington, the eloquence of FDR, the charm of Roosevelt, the charisma of Kennedy, the popularity of Eisenhower, the political savvy of Johnson, and the intelligence of Jefferson. Whether you and I admit it or not, the world stage is ready, isn't it? The world stage is ready for the Antichrist. We just need to be honest. Morality, all-time low. The Bible, Christians, all-time low. The world's ready. This guy's going to be a man of popularity. He's going to be a man of peace. The world's looking for peace, aren't they? They're yearning and crying out for peace everywhere. We want peace in our homes. We want peace in our communities. We want peace everywhere. This guy's going to be a man of peace. Revelation chapter 6, verse 2 tells us that he's going to be riding a white horse. I don't remember. There it is right there. Look at the verse. And I looked, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on it had a bow. This is not Jesus. This is the Antichrist. He has a bow. And a crown was given to him. And he went out to conquering and to conquer. He had a bow, but he didn't have any arrows. Or he'll come making war. In other words, he won't be coming making peace. He'll come to make war. He'll make a 7-year peace treaty, the Bible says, with Israel. 7-year peace treaty. He's going to be a man of peace. And the world's looking for such a leader to make peace with Israel and the Palestinians and Israel with everybody else. We're all tired of war, aren't we? We're tired of fighting with our spouse or with our coworker or with our brother or our sister or our cousin. We're tired of war. And this world's going to easily embrace this man because he's bringing peace. And while this world's in turmoil, I can say that now, praise God. The children of God this morning, if you and I are trusting him like we should, and we're not perfect, I'm not saying that. John chapter 14, verse 27, look at this verse. Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives." The world can't give peace. And Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid." That's the only place we can find peace, isn't it? Can't find peace anywhere else. There's no peace anywhere else. Only this spiritual peace that we can get that comes from Jesus is the only place. Nowhere else. You can't get it with money. That's why millionaires kill themselves all the time. Because they don't have peace. They have money, but they don't have peace. He will be a man of peace. He will be a man of popularity, and he will be a man of prosperity. Daniel chapter 11 says, "But he shall have power over the treasures of gold and silver and over all the precious things of Egypt." I don't think I have it on the screen. Let me see. There it is. Daniel 11, 43. "He shall have power over all the treasures of gold, over the treasures of gold and over silver and over all precious things of Egypt. And the Libyans and the Ethiopians shall be at his steps." They will be honoring him. They will be worshiping him. This man will eventually control the wealth of the world. And it's called the New World Order. You may have even heard that statement before. One world currency, one world government, one world order. I am convinced that the Antichrist, maybe not, but I'm convinced that maybe he's going to bring an end to world hunger. All the hungry people in the world. And people have said, if you've got 75 cents in your pocket, or if you've got a nickel in your pocket, excuse me, you got a nickel in your pocket, you got more money than 75% of the population of this world. If you've got a nickel in your pocket. I'm convinced that this man is going to be so powerful. He's going to end all that for a short time. That's why the world is going to embrace him and worship him. He's going to be a man of popularity, peace, prosperity, and power. Revelation chapter 13, will you turn there with me? We'll try to hurry on through these, but I want to cover them. Revelation 13. Brother Bill said that he never heard a short sermon, so I'm trying to... I'm going to put two short sermons together, Brother Bill, if that's okay. Revelation 13, verse 5. Look at what it says. And the beast was given a mouth uttering haughty and blasphemous words, and it was allowed to exercise authority for 42 months. It opened its mouth to utter blasphemies against God, blaspheming God's name and his dwelling, that is, those who dwell in heaven. It was allowed to make war on the saints. The Antichrist was allowed to make war on the saints, and it conquered them, and authority was given it over every tribe and people. Notice that verse. And authority was given it over every tribe, people, language, and nation. And all who dwell on the earth will worship it, the Antichrist. If you say tribe, if God says tribe, people, language, and nation, he's talking about everybody. He doesn't leave anybody out. Everybody, if you're here on the earth and you hadn't trusted Jesus, you're going to worship the Antichrist probably. That's just the way it is. That's just the way it's going to be. God says it in his word. He's going to rule the world. He'll become so large in the eyes of humanity that people worship him. Let me give you another truth. His abominations. He'll attack the people of God. Daniel chapter 7, I'll just read it. Verse 25 says, he shall speak words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High and shall think to change the times and the law, and they shall be given into his hand. And so in other words, the Antichrist is going to break this agreement, this 7-year agreement with Israel. He's going to break the agreement. He'll try to do what Hitler couldn't do. He'll try to exterminate all the Jews. Hitler did exterminate millions upon millions, but this guy's going to try to exterminate them all. This man is going to hate everything that has anything to do with God and the Lord Jesus. We're seeing this spirit in our world today, aren't we? It's becoming increasingly unpopular to believe in the Bible. We're labeled as bigots when we say, no, a man should marry a woman. We're bigots. We're judges. They're labeling us. But that's okay. They label Jesus the same way. We're told to protect the spotted owl, which we care about the environment. And let me say this, guys. Please don't say Mother Nature. Mother Nature is a false god. Amen? It's not real. Mother Nature is not real. It's whoever made it up years ago. God is in charge of nature. God's in charge of everything. Not some mother that we call Mother Nature. That's a false god. I know it's taught in our school system, but it's wrong. But we protect the spotted owl, but we tolerate millions of babies being murdered inside the mama's belly. Millions. We tolerate it, but we want to protect the little bird or the little butterfly. And it's okay to protect those. But God cares about somebody that's got a soul in them. Children have souls. We have no voice in government. The church is under attack, and it's going to continue. It's going to get worse. He's going to attack not only the people of God. There's the verse that they should be given into his hand. He's going to attack the prince of God. Daniel chapter 8, verse 25, where we were earlier, we're told that the man of sin is going to stand against the prince of princes. Stand against the Lord Jesus. And while he's doing this, some other things are going to happen. Let me go to the next one. There's the verse there. Antichrist shall even rise against Jesus, prince of princes. He's going to attack the people, the prince, and he's going to attack the place of God too. He's going to go into Jerusalem. They're going to set up the temple again. It's going to already be built. He's going to go in there in the Holy of Holies, which is the most sacred place in the Bible. It tells us when the Jews worshiped, there was a place called the Holy of Holies. Very sacred, extremely sacred. He's going to go in there, this Antichrist, and he's going to set up a throne in there. He's going to set up his own kingship or whatever. In other words, he's going to try to be like God to the people. And they're going to think it's God. They're going to think it's Jesus. Revelation 14 tells us that. The Antichrist is going to attack the place of God. Let me give you the last truth here. I want you to know about his afflictions. His afflictions. The afflictions of the Antichrist are going to be sudden. We see that in Daniel 8:25 again. He's going to be broken without human hand. In other words, the humans are not going to come and kill him. The Lord Jesus, we just read that a moment ago, out of the breath, out of the mouth of the Lord Jesus, is he going to be slain. He's going to be killed. He's going to be defeated by God, by the Lord Jesus, not by man. And it's going to be serious too. Revelation 19:20 says the Antichrist will be thrown into the lake of fire, which is hell, thrown in there alive. He's going to be put in there alive. He's going to stay in there for a time, 1,000 years. And then after that, God's going to let him out for a little while. And then he's going to be tossed back in there forever and ever. So here's the question. So much to cover and so little time. Are you ready? If the Antichrist, if the rapture occurred and all of the saints were to be taken out, all the your Christian family and everybody that maybe you lean on sometimes, or maybe someone in this room you lean on, your Sunday school teacher, and they're taken out, they're not here anymore, you can't call them and say, "What do I do?" Are you ready to meet the Lord Jesus? Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for giving us your word, for giving us a warning that this life is not all there is. It's just a little short time that we're down here on this earth. But when we die, when our heart stops beating for the last time, we're going to eternity. We're either going to hell because we didn't trust Jesus. We didn't agree with your word. We didn't believe what your word says, that Jesus died on the cross for our sins and one day he's coming back for those who love him. We didn't believe that. And so we're not going to heaven. Father, for those who are saved today, I pray that this will give them affirmation. This will give them comfort. This will give them peace that they're ready to meet you. We're not perfect, but we're ready to meet you. Thank you, Lord, for sending Jesus again. And may, Lord, you speak to the hearts of those in this room who are not ready. May they, right where they sit, may they ask you to save them. And they just trust Jesus as Lord and Savior. Right where they are, they just ask you to do that. Or either they come and talk to me. I love you, Lord, and I thank you for these people. In Christ's holy name, amen.